What's in your hand? If you go to if we went to Exodus chapter 3 in first four verses, it says there, now Moses was kept in his flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest, Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Hebron, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned to see, God called him out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he responded, here I am. I'm interested in this to see that God is always involved in looking. The Bible says he searches to and fro throughout the earth, looking at who he may use and looking how he may respond. And I'm interested with these verses here in chapter 3 that God appeared. And when he appeared through this burning bush, he's, you know, God, hello, we're talking about God. I've been in ministry for a number of years. I remember I had all kinds of interesting scenarios happening when God was doing all these crazy, wild things. And dare I say it, he was bringing people to the church building. We had this, took on this church, beautiful building. And when we went there, like sat 300 people, 350 people. When we first went there, first invited to go there, there's 27 people in the congregation. And, you know, balcony and, oh, beautiful. And, you know, they half sat there and half sat there, and the black people sat over there by themselves. I come like, pinch me. Is this a nightmare or is this a movie or something? This can't be real. But no, it was real. Anyway, God did some amazing things. And we had this beautiful garden, sort of beautiful, the garden out the front. And it had these old pieces of wood that sort of went around the edge of the garden, but they were all ugly, so I took them out and built this nice little wall. And it was quite a good wall, and about these nice treated timber. And I was mowing the lawn out the front of the church one day, and these people walked past, these young people walked past, and I just turned the mower off, I just finished, and this girl said, oh, that's a church, because there was a 7-Eleven, you know, that was right beside. That's a church. And the guy goes, well, yeah, of course it's a church. She goes, I've never seen that before. He goes, we've walked past this 1,000 times. What do you mean you haven't seen it? And I said, well, yeah, what do you mean you haven't seen it? And she's like, oh, somebody spoke to me. And I said, well, you should come and have a look. Oh, no, I can't do that. I said, why not? She said, well, it had brand of the church over the front of it. And I said, she said, well, I don't belong to that. I belong to this group. You know, I said, your point? Well, I can't go in there. I said, well, I know the bricks are, you know, they're in pretty good condition. It won't fall down. It's okay if you're going to walk in. It was like the bells went off. I thought, my goodness, they've been in this community how many years, and the community barely knows they exist. So I built this garden. That's what the thing that got me going. Well, okay, I'm going to spruce this up and invite, make it more inviting to people. And I came one day, and here these kids, the audacity, these young kids, and not of Canadian descent, I might say, were riding their skateboards over my garden wall. So I just got so excited. Oh, so I drove around the back of the church and came in through the back door and went and got some drinks out of the fridge and took them out to these kids because it was pretty sort of hot for Canada. I said, there you go. They were shocked. They thought I was going to come out and rip into them. You know, get off the... So that opportunity opened up all kinds of amazing doors. And literally, I'd have a phone call at 10 o'clock at night. I won't tell you what they called me. Phil, could you come down, meet us at such and such? I'll get a location. And I'd go down there at 10 o'clock at night, and these guys would pull up in a car because they knew my car. They'd pull up in a car and, hey, there you go, no questions, eh? Yeah, man, no questions. And they dropped this paper bag to me, and there was a handgun in there. So I wonderful opportunity working with these drug lords. It was great. I just used to pray that there'd be money in there as well, because it's a great blessing using devil's money for God's work. But when then I work with the police, and I get no questions asked, you know, and that we had phenomenal, amazing things just because it started with these kids doing skateboards. Yet I had people in the church leave because I was allowing these kids to run their skateboards over the church property and over, like, please. So religiousness is really quite a bondage and quite a barrier to the work of the Lord. But God watches us. He turns up in this bush, And he could have done anything. He could have thundered out of the clouds. I spoke on a number of things about God's doing firsts. And yeah, look how many times God appeared in Scripture the first time. You've never seen it before. Moses with this burning bush. How many burning bushes? None. Like, you know, poor Moses, put yourself in his shoes. Like Pastor Graham said, put yourself into the picture of the Lord's Supper. Put yourself in Moses' shoes. You're out there and the bush is burning. It's like, oh, buddy, I didn't drink enough. I'm hallucinating, or that it's too hot today. What? No, this is not normal. God appears. But God could have done anything. He could have appeared in the bush and then turned around at the other side of him and started thundering from heaven. Moses, you know. Like he could have, whatever. God could have done anything. He pulled up out of the sand. Like, you know, we're starting to see special effects in TV almost pick up to where God is. But there's amazing things. God doesn't do anything. He turns up in the burning bush and waits for Moses to respond. And it says that Moses looks at it. Burning bush. Bush not burning. Interesting. I must look at this. God waits for him to respond, and he turns and has a look at the bush, and then, the Bible says, after that, then God speaks. I believe many times God turns up. Actually, there is not a person that can stand before the face of God, the Bible says, without being able to, you know, stand, oh, God, I didn't know anything about you. Everything, you know, creation speaks, screams about the God. So nobody stands before God without an excuse. I believe God turns up over and over again in our lives, and he appears to us, and he waits for us to respond. And many times, I don't know about in your life, but in my life, instead of responding, I reacted. And I've run away, and I haven't waited around with God to listen for a bit. But it's like those three stages. God will appear, God waits, and then he wants for us to respond. And once we respond, then God speaks. I don't know where you may be today. Maybe God's appeared to you and he's still waiting for you to respond. And you're waiting for him to speak, but you haven't responded. Maybe today is the day where you stop and start responding to God so that he can speak to you to lead you to become a reputable every man's welfare service over and longer. Maybe, I don't know. I just believe that God desires to speak into our hearts, into our lives over and over again. And many times, because it's not the way we think, it's, you know, the bush is burning. You can't be right. I've got to go and take another tablet. This is not God. You know, or whatever the case is. Or we'll la, 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 la. Yeah, can't be God. Can't be God. Can't be God. I believe the Lord has spoken over and over again, but he desires for you and me to be a people who respond to him. And in chapter 4, we find, you know, the story goes on with Moses walking with the Lord and whatever. In chapter 4, he says, and Moses answered, behold, how are they going to believe me or listen to my voice? And then God said, and the Lord did not appear to you. And then the Lord said to me, what's in your hand? In chapter 4, verse 2, what's in your hand? He said, well, a staff. The Lord said, throw it to the ground. So he threw it to the ground and became a serpent. And Moses ran away from it. He's so normal. I love it. Even an Aussie, you'd run. Hello? But the Lord said to Moses, put your hand out and catch it by the tail. And Moses did. It's great. So he put his hand out, caught it by the tail, and it became a staff in his hand again. And the Lord said, they may believe the Lord your God, your fathers Abraham and Isaac and Jacob has appeared to you. I just love what God does. He says to Moses, he's had the bush experience, he's waited for Moses to respond, okay, he's responded, then God speaks. Then he says, okay, Moses, I've got your attention now, let's walk and talk together. So God starts walking and they start talking together, and then he says, I want you to go and do this great thing. And Moses is like, oh, look, good plan, wrong guy, like pick somebody else, and oh, what are they going to... And God's simple. Why do we complicate God? He's a complex, intensely complex God, but he's simple for you and me. He knows what we're like. He keeps it simple for us. He uses that kiss method beautifully. And he wants for us to respond, and he says to Moses simply, what have you got in your hand? And I believe the Lord will say to you today, what's in your hand? What can you do? Don't tell me what you can't. I've spent some time with numerous in the coaching, life coaching business that I run, and with management and executive level, and they'll continue to complain to me. People will come to the board or come to management meetings, and I'll have complaints. So I'd say to them, if the next person comes with a complaint, stop them. So I don't want to hear about the complaint unless you have a solution to it. Everybody wants to tell you about the problems. Like, hello, I know what problems are. I want to know the answers. Give me some solutions to the problems. And God's always a God who comes not only just to highlight a problem, but he also highlights a solution. And many times the solution stands in front of us in the form of a mirror. God, why is this? My life sucks. So and so. Did I? Sorry, wrong word. My life's really bad. Oh, God, this problem and that person, and she said and they said and he looked, and God said, look in the mirror. In my life coaching business, I'll always carry a little makeup mirror, and I'll pull it out sort of a session three maybe, and I'll go, look in here. I've heard that this job, this relationship, whatever the case may be. I said, there's a common denominator through all these stories. Do you know what it is?
Oh, no, it's the weather, it's the government, it's my upbringing, it's...
There's the problem, it's in the mirror. And I don't know how it works with you, but now when I read scripture, it's like looking in a mirror. God always takes me to the negatives in the scripture. And I think, that's you, Phil. Now, but over and over, when he brings the negatives, he always brings the solution. And that's what his word is about, bringing us to a position of solution. And I believe that God desires for each and every one of us to take the opportunity to look to see what's in our hand. In James chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18, it says that, I better read it so I don't misquote it. Where's James? Someone stole James. Hold your horse, here it is. James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. It says this. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. I don't know how many times somebody have said to me over the course of 30 years of ministry and working with people, I wish I could, but I can't because. Yes, I would, but. My sister, I was the youngest of three. There's 5 years older than me. There's twin sisters, and then 5 years older than my brother. And one of my sisters, we used to call her Yes But. That was a nickname. Because Yes But, I will, but Yes But. We've always got these excuses. I can't because. Listen, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, the Bible says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Though the weapons form against me, who will... Scripture is full of reasons why we can, and yet what we want to do is focus on why we can't. The world doesn't have the answer. It's proven that very effectively. So they're looking for somewhere with the answer. Friends, they need to see Christ in us, the hope of glory, because he is the answer. And because of him in us, we become the answer on his behalf. It's not about what you say or what you do. It's about who you are. And it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. The world is screaming to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And indeed, I believe that the gifts of God that are given within us, a gift is not useful unless it's unpacked and used. What's the point of giving a gift and keeping it wrapped up for 55 years? The gift is given so that you can unpack it and utilize it. And that's why the gifts of God are placed within our hearts so that we can be used. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7, each and every one of us has his or own gift from God, one and different kinds. He says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, don't use or allow others to use the gift. Let me quickly take you to that one, because I just love Paul's directness. I think he's Aussie deep down. I really do. He says to Timothy, do not neglect the gift that you have. Let me go back. Verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to public reading the scriptures and exhortation and to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that you have. Friends, every man is not looking for old people. Looking for young people. Young people of heart. But there's something about the age that comes through and shines bright, because we've walked the walk and lived the talk and lived the journey, as it were, for a while. Paul says, don't neglect the gift that's given within you. It's been given by God, and it's been given for God to use. He reiterates a similar sort of thing in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. He says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And again, encouraged this morning to see the laying on of hands and the impartation of God's gift to fan the flame. It's not just fanning our own flame, but it's fanning the flame of one another. Man, we shouldn't allow somebody to become dull and boring as a believer and brother and sister in Christ. I don't care if they go to another church. If they're a brother and sister in Christ, don't allow them to become dull and bored. There's no such thing in Scripture for dull and boring Christians. We're filled with the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Hello? How can we be silent? How can you be dull and boring? How can you be, Christianity? My goodness, come on. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. I love this verse. I used to use it with teaching relationships to young people. I'd say to the girl, if the guys would take you out for a date and he wants to kiss you, I said, you have scriptural evidence and you have my backing as a youth pastor to be able to clench your fist in a certain way and smack him real hard. And when he complains, say, no, scripturally sound. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. God said to Moses, what's in your hand? Utilize it to the best of your ability for the honor and glory of God. I love Reinhard Bonnke, the great German evangelist. He says, I want to plunder hell and populate heaven. That's what every man's is about. We're plundering hell and populating heaven. Not through Bible bashing, not through shoving stuff down people's throats, but being open and responsive and receptive to all that God has and all that we are in through him. Friends, the mandate upon each and every one of us as followers of Jesus Christ is to fulfill Matthew chapter 28. Theological training, pastorship, priesthood is not about the fulfillment of Matthew chapter 28. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 that you should shine, you. I don't know how it works with you, but if you're open to it, let's just quickly go real quick because we're running late. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 16, Matthew 5, verse 16, go yoy when you get there. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Good. Okay, all together now, we're going to read it. I don't care what your version is, we're just going to read it. Okay, verse 16, here we go. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Did your Bible say, did your version of the Bible say, let your light? Huh? Whose light is that? Was it speaking to? Mine. When I read that, it says, let my light. And when you read yours, it says, it's got nothing to do with the person beside you. How dare we spend so much time? You're not letting your light shine. Oh, shut up. I stand before the Father. And I don't want to win friends and influence people because, you know, people are so fickle. They'll change at a drop of a hat. You know, or you wore your hair the wrong way, so I don't like you anymore. I mean, we're so insecure. When we understand who we are in Christ, mate, it doesn't matter if everybody hates me. Actually, that's one of the promises Jesus says to us. We want to quote the promises, oh, I'm going to be rich and famous and healthy and wealthy. And Jesus says, if you love me, they're going to hate you. So if you're walking around throughout the life and everybody loves you, get a little check on how much you're reflecting the image and brightness of Christ. It's not about, I don't live to hear well done from people. I live to hear well done, their good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what I live for, man. That's what I live for. And whether you jump on board with every man, whether you forget about every man, look, I don't give a rip, really. I should be more loving, I suppose, but I don't. This is not my problem. I'm just a messenger. I'll just share the story of what God's doing. His opportunity. You want to minister? His opportunity to minister. Man, you don't need every man to come and knock on your door to opportunity to minister. You've got a neighbor living beside you that maybe not know Jesus. Does a neighbor know that you're a Christian? Ooh, it's getting a little bit close to home. Sorry. I used to say to the congregation one time, they were whinging and complaining. I said, you know what? Here's the mandate. This is what I want to do. I want you to, on Sunday morning, get out in the morning, get in the car, get ready to go to church, sit on the horn. So when the neighbor gets out, pops his head out the window, see what's going on, like, hey, we go to church, come on, you want to come join us? Wave your Bible around and come on, we're going to listen to the word of God. It's just life, it's going to rejuvenate us and encourage us and excite us. Why don't you come join us? Marshall, you're insane. And I think we have to get excited about, man, my home is in heaven. This ain't my home, we're just passing through, man. I'm not for the here and now, I'm for the there and after. But if you don't know about the there and after, you're getting deceived by the here and now, man, somebody's got to tell you. And if you don't know about it, and I do know about it, how can I say that I love you and not tell you about the there and after? You got to live for now, but with the eternity in mindset. Is that right? Try to contain your excitement there. But I was preaching a whole bunch at a time, and I gave out one time. I should have done this this morning. I forgot because I got access to it. But I had the helpers give out a single, you know, those little industrial earplugs, those little tiny ones, you know, thickness of your finger. So I had everybody get one of them in the church, and they're like, oh. "No, no." So everybody, come on, everybody, yeah, okay, good. So radio, this is quite a full house. God has done some good things over those years, and I said, okay, everybody, put one of them. If you're deaf in one ear, shove it in that one. You know, everybody shut. They're like, yeah, sure. No, so I had one. I said, come on, put it in. So being like good sheep, they were. That's the shepherd instructed them. So they put it in. I said, everybody got their ear plug? Yeah. I said, good. I said, I've been preaching my heart out for how many years here? And I said, I'm just angst this week. So I thought, I believe God has spoken. He's given me an opportunity to help me and to help you. So I've been preaching my heart out, the word of the Lord. This is his word. And I said, it seems to me, as I listen to you and come and ask for counsel on a regular basis, seems to me like it's going in one ear and out the other. So this time, he's gonna hit that ear and drop down and hopefully bring some transformation to your life. I think that's most of the things people remembered about my preaching, not the preaching. But I honestly do not believe, I do not believe, I'm absolutely convinced of this, I'm not here by coincidence. Was it March, I think? Or May or something? May, I was down here, we were sharing, and we made the booking, and I don't believe in coincidences. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I believe you're here to listen to me, sorry, but not my fault, it's his fault. Life's a setup, man. He knows the beginning to the end. And I believe God would have you hear his word today, not to respond to me, but to respond to his word. And it may have nothing to do with every man, but it has everything to do with his purposes. Everything to do with his purposes. And if every man's part of that picture, praise God. If it's not, praise God anyway. I'm not about every man's. I'm about the kingdom of God. I'm about glorification of his name and extension of his kingdom. That's what I'm about. I want Albury. Man, what a great thing to know that I was here how many years ago? 18 years ago, whatever the math is. And to hear that I come back 20 years later and to hear that there's like thousands and thousands and thousands of people in Albury being saved. Wouldn't that be something? Try to contain your excitement again. But God's challenge, he's placed you here for the purpose of the Maya Center to hear about Christ. Not to go wave your flag and carry on like a pork chop, no, but to be Christ as you walk through the shopping center. I believe the kingdom of God is at hand because he's in you. I believe the return of Christ is so close, it's like, man, I think the trumpet's, the angel's already pulling his breath in. He's got to blast it soon, I'm sure of it. You know, it's close. But people need to see Christ in you and experience Christ through you. Don't invite them to church. What's the point of right into the building? If you invite them to church, that really means, scripturally, that means you're inviting them to spend time with you because you're the church. That's, Paul said it. Don't get upset with me. This is just a building. Don't invite them to here on Sunday. Lead them to the foot of the cross on Tuesday afternoon in the mall. And if they want to come to this church on Sunday, great. If they want to go to the one down the road, great. Doesn't matter. It's the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this church. Hello? That's what it's about, friends. That's what it's about. Father, I thank you. What a privilege to be part of your kingdom. What a privilege to be knowing that we're children of the Most High God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And yeah, Lord, it's hard to love our siblings sometimes. But you tell us you have to. We have to love each other. So, Father, I thank you for the opportunity this morning to share with your people your word. And Holy Spirit, I would ask that today we would not just be hearers of the word, but we would be responders. We would be doers of your word. Father, that we would not let today, the sun go down today, without responding to the bush that's on fire, without responding to your voice, without looking at what is in our hand, what gifts and talents have you given us? Father, if you're asking today for more of my time to spend in prayer and fellowship with you, I ask, Father God, that we would respond with a yes and amen. Lord, if you're asking for us to respond in the talents that you've given us, every perfect gift comes down from the Father above. The talents that we have and the skills you've given us, Lord, have been given from you for you. Father, if you're asking for us to step up to the plate with our talents in a greater way today, I pray that we would say yes, Lord. Father, maybe there's some of us here with great treasures, with great wealth. You're asking and tapping on the shoulder like the rich young ruler. Father, whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that we, your people today, would be responsive to your word and responsive to your spirit with a yes, Lord, here am I. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks, Pastor Graham.